This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders futilely attempt to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Tosche Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
On the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Shot Flats, you're listening to Tosche Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Nancy.
Hello.
On today's episode, we're talking about lessons we'd like the sequel trilogy to learn from the expanded universe, as well as some other things we'd like the sequels to fix. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. First things first, we got a guest on the podcast. It's staff writer Bria.
Hey, everyone.
Yay! Hi, Bria.
Hi, Bria.
How's the Wario Express treating you?
It's been an interesting ride.
We'll come back to that in a moment. A bit of housekeeping first. We mentioned last week that we are running with some sponsors on the podcast, and we've added a second sponsor this week. Audible.com, an Amazon affiliate that provides high-quality digital audiobooks. And to put this into perspective, when you sign up for an Audible.com free trial through the blog or podcast, every 18 free trials funds our web hosting costs for 1 year. So I will put that shameless plug at the top of the show now.
And that's just signing up for the trial. That's not necessarily actually subscribing.
Yes, and when you sign up for the free trial, you do get one free audiobook.
Yes.
So
go try it out. You got nothing to lose. And if you like it, then you can subscribe.
And so if you want a free audiobook, go sign up through the link we've got either on the side blog or sidebar of the blog or in the show notes for this podcast. And if 18 of you do that, I don't have to fret about paying the bills for web hosting for a year.
Yay!
So, yes, let's go ahead and do our stingers for these advertisements. Tosche Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners of this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. This podcast is also brought to you by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, and other geek-inspired wardrobe and jewelry.
You're really going to have to record those because I'm not going to be able to sit through them without laughing.
What, you don't want me to do my announcer voice live?
You No, that's okay. I can deal with not
no.
Her Universe, flaunt your world. Oh, God. Okay, we're going to move away from the housekeeping bit of the show and move into what's new on the blog. As is customary, Nancy, what's new this week?
Well, as we mentioned before, the Wario Express pulled into the Thrawn trilogy, and Bria, it's safe to say you like these books.
I do. It was a nice little break from the Han and Leia love boat.
Well, now they've got baby on the way, or babies on the way.
Twin terrors.
Yeah. Speaking of that, random aside, have either of you ever seen any of the comics or read through any of the Thrawn Trilogy comic adaptations?
Yep.
Because there's that one picture of the obstetrician as he's giving Leia the thumbs up.
Oh!
Which
that
is the
picture.
Funniest picture ever.
Oh, things you probably don't want to see your obstetrician do while
no,
in a procedure.
No. Brian, you need to link to that in the show notes.
Oh, I've got to go find a copy of that. It's a, oh, that's, I need a copy of that so I can use it on the blog all the time.
Yes. Do you remember what issue it was? Because I think I can help you out with that. Or I'll talk to you about it after the show.
It had to have been in Last Command, so one of them. I don't know.
We'll find it.
We'll find it.
Bria also highlighted an adorable Airbender family.
Awesome Airbender cosplaying family is awesome.
They were very cute. I was reminded of the Incredibles cosplay that was at Dragon Con this past year. I love cosplaying families.
They're the best.
And then finally, Bria reviewed The Last Jedi by Michael Reeves and Maya Catherine Bonoff. And Bria,
Do you want me to talk about that in Deke's Dirt or
no? let's hold it off for Deke's Dirt and put it there where it's appropriate. So I can get the spoilers alarm queued up.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Oh and dear, my web browser just locked up.
Wonderful.
I don't have the show notes. Come back.
Well, then I will skip into Fixer's Flash.
Thank you.
Which is where we talk about what is new in our geeky lives. And Nancy, what's new with you? Well, Brian.
What is new with you, Nancy?
I have been writing my fingers off, and my goal is to try to finish this book by the time Brian comes to visit, which is in 16 days.
16 days! Woo!
Yay! But I've got 14 more chapters to write in that time? Or 15? Something like, I think 15.
Yeah, you can do it.
It's gonna be tough! But I think I can do it. And Brian and I both got caught up with the Clone Wars and have thoughts about some of the episodes. Conflicting thoughts.
You know, I know we're doing a Clone Wars retrospective in an episode or two.
Yes.
But I can say I don't know if I'm enjoying season 5 as much as I enjoyed season 4.
Yeah, the problem is that I really want to like it, and they show the trailers, and I'm blown away, and I love the ideas of the episodes, but they just fall kind of flat, and I wonder why do they spend four episodes on this arc, and this episode only gets one, this storyline only gets one episode, you know, there's a lot of pacing issues I am having problems with on the show.
Yeah, did that droid arc really need 3 or 4 episodes?
It had 4. I don't think we even watched them all. We skipped ahead to the
Yeah, we kind of did to get
And even in the Darth Maul episode, there was 3 episodes, and I thought the first 2 episodes could have been just one episode. And then the Sidious stuff, I was like, well, this should have been 5 episodes, because I would just sit there and watch him be evil forever.
Yeah, and then we caught up through last week's episode, and no spoilers, but let's just say you and I are concerned?
Yeah, I think for the people who watched, they did a special screening at Lucasfilm of the 4 episodes in the season finale arc. And I think for those people watching it all at once, they probably had a much different experience than us watching at home, because I don't know if I want to call it a twist, but there's definitely something mysterious going on in these episodes. And for those of us watching at home, having a week in between episodes to figure out stuff out, we pretty much know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's kind of like, and it's not something I want to see happen, because it just makes no sense.
Yeah,
so
if what you and I think is going to happen happens, I'm going to be disappointed.
I know a lot of people who will be disappointed. And it's kind of sad, but...
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see where that takes us.
And not disappointed because it's going to mess up continuity.
Because I don't really care, I'll be honest.
I mean, I guess it will kind of mess up continuity because it messes up with a certain character, but mainly because I think it's completely out of character. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of remarked on Twitter earlier today, I'm worried that the Clone Wars may be about to go all Legacy of the Force on itself.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, you know, the whole shoehorning characters to fit the plot and not...
funneling the plot through the characters.
Yes, that is what seems to be happening.
Because I can think of a couple different awesome ways they could make this plot work.
Yeah.
But the execution right now has me worried.
We'll talk about it later after the episode airs and we can actually say what we want to say.
Yeah, either way, I do have a couple Clone Wars related column ideas that we're probably going to be investigating. One of which is, is it just me or has season 5 been really hard on the female characters?
Now you guys have me worried based upon your tweets in this conversation.
We can tell you later on if you are curious.
I might not want to know.
But I will say, to end on a positive note, holy crap, Darth Sidious.
Awesome.
Round of applause for you, good sir.
If that episode had been all Sidious, it would have been the greatest episode of the Clone Wars ever.
It was just basically him throwing Mandalorians around like ragdolls. Which, of course, I think is humorous anyway. But if it would have been anyone, it would have been hilarious. Because he's like, you are so far beneath me, I'm not even going to look at you as I throw you up against a wall.
Well, then he threw Maul around like a ragdoll, which I thought was utterly delightful.
Yes, both of them. It was fantastic. He's like, oh, you think you're Sith? You think you're Sith? No. No. And it was great. So I am looking forward to more of that because, yep. That was the one thing that they showed on the trailer at Celebration, him walking down the shuttle ramp with the lightsabers, and I was like, yes! So yes, Palpatine, good. And I also visited New Fantasyland for the first time this past weekend, and I wouldn't say it was fantastic, but it was fun. And the Be Our Guest restaurant had a really, really, really long line for food. But it was really nice inside. I'm more partial to the Harry Potter world, though, just because it's Harry Potter.
Butterbeer!
Yeah. And that's all for me.
Bria, if you ever come down to Florida, we are so taking you to Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Yes, please.
Everyone has to go to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Get a butterbeer, cry while you're walking through Hogwarts.
Yep. I actually don't like butterbeer. It's way too sweet for me. But
I love it. It's so good.
I like seeing people drink butterbeer and be happy.
It's liquid happiness is what it is.
You can also buy a chocolate frog in Honey Dukes.
I'll go for the butterbeer.
Good call.
So, Brian, what's new with you?
As far as geeky things go,
You watched Clone Wars?
I watched Clone Wars. Because I got distracted by ramping up for the start of sporty things, because spring training is underway and Major League Soccer gets underway this Saturday for me.
Baseball. Yay!
Baseball and soccer, woo!
Oh, yay. speaking of sports, I'm going to a Star Wars night at the local hockey team this Thursday. Yay.
You'll have to take pictures.
I will.
We'll post them to the blog. It'll be fun.
I hope Darth Vader comes out on the ice. That'll be great.
So how long before Disney puts Vader on ice?
Oh, God. Well, my friend was saying today that the princesses on ice were coming to her, and she was thinking of taking her daughter, and I was thinking, I wonder if Leia will join that.
Leia would probably have an easier time ice skating than whatever the normal princess attire is.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's me. Just sporty things right now. Hopefully more geeky things this week. But we've got a guest on. Bria, what have you been up to?
As usual, the Wuru Express.
Woo!
I just finished reading the Jedi Academy trilogy today, which means I'm about 200 or so pages into I, Jedi. So far, Cornhorn is too Corelli into function.
And show title.
There you go. You're welcome.
Too Corelli into function.
The only thing I dislike about I, Jedi, and this is probably really predictable, not enough Mirax.
Yeah, not enough Mirax, not enough Mara. Even though Mara is probably the Janus in this situation, but... You know, well, we'll leave my Mean Girls analysis to Jedi Academy to another day.
Yeah, but Marin, that's great because she's like, oh, yeah, big bad Sith Lord. Pfft, whatever. Yep. You don't scare me. Meanwhile, Korn's crying.
Oh, Marin, Mirax.
Hang on, I'm tweeting this. We're comparing the Jedi Academy to Mean Girls. Why
do you want
aren't
me to keep going? I will.
You listening to the live stream.
You know, we could totally do like different generations of it. We can do like the original generation, and then we can do like the YJK generation.
I think it works best if you just go with from like the NJO, but you just kind of throw in Mara and Corrin in there because you have them be Janice and Damien. And then Kip Duran is Regina. And then you have Worth and Ganner as Gretchen and what's her face. You know, the little Mean Girls clique.
Oh,
I guess
dear.
Does that make Luke one of the teachers, I guess? Oh,
he is the in over his head principal is who he is.
Yes, there we go.
What's his name? I don't remember what his name is in the movie.
I don't know, but let's see. Jason can be, I guess that makes Jason Katie, which I guess makes Tuttle Ka, Aaron Sanders Smith. I can't remember his last name. Samuels.
Why is
Aaron Samuels.
Jason Katie.
Because he's the new boy.
The new boy who relates more to animals and wildlife than he does people.
He's joining us all the way from Coruscant.
If you're from Coruscant, why are you white? That doesn't work as well.
No.
No, but the intent is still hilarious.
It works better if you throw it around with, like, use Tuttle Ka. We've got, you know, some all the way from Dathomir.
Yeah.
I'm from Haves.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh.
I think I derailed that a little bit.
Yeah, that's how this podcast works.
Yep. Oh, on the Wuru Express note, today/tomorrow, depending on when people are listening to this, I will be live streaming myself and reading aloud The Crystal Star. So...
And this is important because that is the namesake of the Wuru Express.
It is arriving.
Now so incredibly bummed. I'm getting fillings done tomorrow while you're working, while you're doing this. You better still be recording when I get back.
I mean, I'll probably start at like 6:30 or 7 Eastern time. Because I think I want to try and get as much read in one night as possible. So that way I can keep drinking.
If I'm lucky, I can catch the tail end of this when you're three sheets to the wind because of Crystal Star.
Oh, you know me and alcohol. We get along so well when reading books like this. I will hope I won't hide under the table this time like I did for Splinter of the Mind's Eye.
I don't think there are any guarantees on that front.
I tried to hide from the incest. It didn't work. Okay, so what else? I took a break from the Wuru for one book only, to reread one of Tamora Pierce's books, First Test. They're awesome books. You should look into them, her Tortal books. And aside from that, I just marathoned season 2 of Game of Thrones because the DVDs came out and season 3 is starting next month. So.
Fantastic. Oh, and by the way, if you ever want to take a break from the Warrior Express to read The Icarus Hunt by Timothy Zahn, go for it.
Yeah. I shall after I read the YJK. So like 3-ish weeks maybe.
Awesome.
Don't you have to read another book before that, or was that somebody else?
I do have to read The Leviathan, yeah. I can read them both in 1 week.
No, someone had said that, I can't remember. We had told someone to read Icarus Hunt, but they had to read something else before Icarus Hunt. I can't remember who it was.
I'm hiding or from what my it was. Microphone now.
What?
Was it me? Am I supposed to be reading something? I know I'm always supposed to be reading something.
No.
You're supposed to be reading Revenge of the Sith.
Right.
No, it was... There was someone I was trying to get to read... Or maybe it was just me telling you to read Mage Worlds before Icarus Hunt. That was probably it.
Well, mission accomplished there.
Yep.
Hey, listeners, have you read Mage Worlds yet? You should!
I didn't even say that this time. That was Brian.
All me.
Did you read the prequels yet?
No, I haven't. I haven't had the chance.
Tisk tisk.
I know.
No, he has to read one of my books.
Oh, okay.
Which I'm sending you home with Brian.
Because we can't get an e-copy anywhere.
No. Ugh. So annoying.
Which book is that again?
The Season of Passage by Christopher Pike.
Right.
One of his adult books.
Fantastic. Well, I'm looking forward to that one.
Yep.
And that's what we've been up to in Fixer's Flash. And with that, we move into a segment we like to call Deke's Dirt, news from around fandom, and we'll kick off with the big happening over the weekend. The Oscars happened. Big winners included Argo, Ang Lee as Best Director, Daniel Day-Lewis, Best Actor, Jennifer Lawrence, Best Actress, Christopher Waltz, Supporting Actor, Anne Hathaway, Supporting Actress, How did our genre fiction or our genre entertainment fare? Not
the same
very well.
As usual.
That's fared exactly the same as it always fares.
Well, Argo is about making a fake science fiction movie, so.
And that is the only way science fiction gets nominated for anything in the award system, by being meta science fiction.
Yeah.
I'm still mad the Avengers didn't get nominated for anything but, like, visual effects. Seriously. Yeah. Seriously.
Really, really weird.
Yeah.
Someday the Academy will give science fiction and fantasy the respect it deserves. That day is not today.
No.
Well, did any of us pay attention to the host or the songs or any of that?
The songs, yeah, because you have people soft shoe on television and I pay attention. The dance numbers were fun. I mean, that's about it. Some of the jokes he made were vaguely entertaining.
Some. Oh, Seth MacFarlane. Stick to voicing Palpatine. Seriously, though, Seth MacFarlane is the best Palpatine ever.
Do your impression. You know you want to.
Go for Palpatine.
There we go.
That's the series I want.
Seth MacFarlane voicing Palpatine and all of Palpatine's shenanigans?
Yes.
I'd watch that.
I'd watch a Seth MacFarlane as Palpatine training little baby Mara Jade all day long.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, hey, spinoff movie.
You know he would. Oh my god,
Seth Green,
crying.
What are you up to? Are you free? Can you do a spinoff movie, Seth Green? Let's work this out. That one's on us. Moving on, Star Trek Into Darkness is bringing back some new aliens, and I have to go open the post to remember what this post was.
Well,
there are spoilers, so we're not going to go into that. In more relevant news, the Leia novel and Kenobi have new release dates.
Yay!
The Leia novel will be coming out October 29th, and the Kenobi novel will be coming out August 27th. So right before Dragon Con.
Yes, and now that Scoundrels is out of the way, these are the two novels I am most excited about in 2013.
Me too.
And, oh, I am hoping that the Leia novel treats her character a little better than the current Star Wars comic is.
I'm hopeful. Yeah. I think she'll do well. I can't remember her last name, but I think she'll do well. She'll do well.
Yeah, I'm excited to get some new blood, too.
Oh, yeah. Agreed. I mean, yep. I am looking forward to these books way more than I'm looking forward to, like, Crucible.
Oh, yeah, that does come out before then.
Right.
Yep. I'll read that for the vlog.
You're gonna take a hit for the team on that one?
Well, I actually want to read it, so... Yeah. It's not really I'd read it anyway.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll all end up reading it anyway.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, if there's any plus side, I think Crucible is going to kind of wrap up everything from Darkness to Fate of the Jedi. So I think this is the book that's finally going to, well, forgive the metaphor, but close the book on this era.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And The Last Jedi came out today, or yesterday, depending on when you're listening to this podcast.
Bria reviewed it, and I think we're going to discuss it, so...
Bria?
Would you like to play your spoiler warning sound first?
Yes, my co-host can't hear it, but I'm playing the spoiler alarm. Every time you hear the Death Star alarm, we're about to discuss spoilers. Okay, let's talk The Last Jedi.
Long story short, I did not like it. it's basically Coruscant Knights 4. The only difference is they leave Coruscant this time. And it's boring. Some people liked it more than me from what I've seen of other people's reviews. I just could not get into it. And my biggest problem with the book, besides being kind of boring, is its lack of female characters. It's just, I know Reeves can do better because he wrote MedStar, and I'm just sorry.
Disappointed in what the book was, considering who was writing it.
Yeah, I would have expected more than four female characters to be considered quote main characters, and I would like for more than two of them to appear in more than a quarter of the book each. And that's my angry feminist rant right now.
So, was the book just kind of dry in spots? Were there any other problems you had with it?
It just never really took off. The whole overarching plot of the book is that one of the leaders of Whiplash, which is like the whole rebellion, the new rebellion or whatever at the time, they have to get him off planet, off Coruscant. So Jax and company take him off planet, and then, oh gosh, surprise, he gets captured. So Jax is all, oh, I have to fix things. I have to, you know, keep avoiding Vader and save him. And it never feels like it's a big enough plot to occupy an entire book. And some of the action feels and plot events feel very video gamey, and it didn't capture my attention.
Yeah, and so if you're someone like me and never really got into any of the Coruscant Knight books, is this worth picking up?
No.
Would you recommend it to anyone who couldn't get into the Coruscant Knight books?
No, honestly, the only reason you should pick up the book is if you did really enjoy the Coruscant Knight books and you liked Jax.
So I'm 0 for 2 on that front.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like that one's an unfortunate pass for me, then.
Yep, I mean, I know I won't be reading it again, so.
Yeah, that really is too bad. Now, was this the book that was original? No, not this. Never mind, ignore that train of thought. Sorry. Sorry. And finally, in Deke's Dirt, we've got our usual weekly roundup of Episode 7 and sequel trilogy rumors. Yay! As with always, when we go into this segment, huge grain of salt. Enter at your own risk. Yada, yada, yada. Unsourced, unverified. There you go. markets earlier today, and Markets Odd does have somewhat a history of success on the rumor front, as far as big AAA Hollywood titles goes. Said today that Alfonso... Cuarón. Alfonso Cuarón, responsible for Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban and Children of Men, and Simon Pegg are being courted for roles for the sequel trilogy. Simon Pegg later said he has no idea where this rumor came from. Cuarón hasn't said anything yet, but if Cuarón's being courted, it's probably as a director from one of the films. That's kind of the reaction I had. A fan, Nancy?
That's kind of the same reaction I'm getting for all of the rumors, because it's just, okay, where'd you get this one from? As far as, you know, spinning off from the original trilogy, I say, yeah, is that new?
Yeah, well, I think what Market saw was trying to get after as tone-wise, it'd be closer to the original trilogy than it was the prequel trilogy. Perhaps a bit more hopeful, a little less fatalistic.
Well, I mean, I assumed that anyway, because the prequels, you know, they already kind of had a foregone conclusion that was not going to be happy. The sequels, we don't know what's going to happen. So I would imagine they would have kind of the same attitude as the movies from which they came.
Well, yeah, that would make sense, certainly.
Well, I mean, that's just me. I think people just want to make up any kind of rumor they can about episode 7.
You know, every week we try to launch a new rumor on this podcast. What do we want to try this week?
The spinoff movie is going to feature Emperor Palpatine training Mara Jade, voiced by Seth MacFarlane.
Sold. Let's run with that one.
Done.
Seth MacFarlane being courted for a Star Wars role as a possible spinoff film. Let's see how fast we can get the blogosphere to say confirm to this one. And as we remind you every week, it's not confirmed until StarWars.com, Lucasfilm, or Disney says it's confirmed.
Yep.
Indeed.
And that's Deke Sturt for this week. With that, let's go ahead and get to our discussion topic of the week, Cammy's Concerns, where we bring up a topic and discuss it to death over the span of 30 to 40 minutes.
What do you mean, to death?
By the time we're done, it's a dead horse. This week, the sequel trilogy, the standalone films, and what they can learn from the expanded universe.
And what they can fix from the expanded universe.
Boy, howdy, are there things we'd like the films to fix.
Yeah, starting off with lessons we'd like the sequels to learn. Shane says, remember that people like the Jedi, but that they didn't make Star Wars a success. Strong storytelling did. And for this, we would say, please pay attention to X-Wing pilots, people like, you know, Han Solo, who don't have any force powers. I think one of the problems with the prequels is that most of the main characters were force users.
Yeah, it kind of took the mystique and a bit of the cool shine.
I mean, it was really cool because, you know, I finally got to see the Jedi and the Jedi Temple and all that stuff I'd wanted to see for so long, which is great. But then at the other time, I wish like there had been even more non-force users and maybe focus, you know, on people in the, you know, military other than Anakin and who are not clones. But, yeah. And, you know, I hope that the sequels have pilots like Wedge and, you know, obviously characters like Han and Lando who aren't Force users.
Yeah, I think that is a legitimate complaint about the prequel trilogy, that it did kind of get away from the big grand universe and may have focused too much on the Jedi. I mean, there's a lot of characters, places, and people to explore, and I think that may have been a bit of a lost opportunity there, and is perhaps something that the original trilogy did better.
Yeah. So I'd say, you know, look to the early expanded universe, like the Thrawn trilogy, especially the X-Wing trilogy, not to the recent expanded universe in which every single person in the DP is a Jedi.
You mean when they decided to completely retell the prequel trilogy?
Yes.
Ugh. I think the sequel trilogy is like well placed to do this, though, because assuming that they get the big three back, like the rumor is right now, you're going to have Luke probably still rebuilding the Jedi Order. So you're going to have the original trilogy to build off of, where you still have characters like Wedge and the other pilots. So I think it'll end up doing better. At least I hope it will. But I think it has a more likely chance of succeeding than the prequel trilogy did in this area.
Yep.
Yeah, I think if you just follow the book's lead and diversify your cast and your types of characters, the sequel films could fare better than maybe the prequels did in that regard.
Yep.
And, oh, Nancy, this must be a note from you.
What? From me?
Uh-huh.
About Leia being a leader of the New Republic?
Yes, and this is something where we will point out that the expanded universe is not flawless. It's quite far from. And this is where it's gone terribly, terribly wrong.
Well, I really like Leia as the leader of the New Republic. And we will expand on this also later on when we talk about things we'd like the sequels to fix. But I really liked that she had a role in shaping the New Republic. It was obvious for her to have that role, you know, coming from the rebellion and basically, you know, being heir to Alderaan. And I think she needs to either have or have had a large part in the formation of the New Republic.
Agreed. And part of this is because I do think that politician Leia is quite a bit more engaging than generic Jedi Leia?
Well, I'll discuss this later more in depth, but I think she can be both. So that's what I would like to see. See, you know, Thrawn trilogy, all that stuff.
Yeah. Another point was, and we solicited some feedback, on Twitter and on Facebook for this segment. Dunk over at Club Jade suggested, create characters that people actually care about. We will trudge through a lot of crap for characters we care about.
So true.
Boy, have we ever.
Ugh.
I mean, what terrible books have we read because we like the characters?
Courtship of Princess Leia?
Yep.
Yeah, I've read through a lot of EU.
Well, we pretty much stuck around from Darknest onward.
Shockingly. I still don't know how we did, but
I about gave up at Vortex, but I stuck it out.
Yeah, ugh.
But yeah, if you create characters that people care about, good characters can mitigate problems in storytelling. If you have compelling characters, if your characters are relatable and people genuinely like them, the fans will put up with a lot to just see more of these characters.
Yeah, I mean, I started reading the EU again because I missed Luke, and I heard a lot of good things about him and Ben in Fate of the Jedi, so that's why I started reading it again, and that's the only reason. if I didn't care about those characters, I wouldn't have bothered. So, yeah.
And Shane from the blog suggested, try something different. Nobody guessed that the Emperor had an alien in his circle. People love Thrawn.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, it's... That's one of the things I really liked about the prequels is that there were, a lot of different planets. There were a lot of different aliens. And that, especially, I think we talked about this last week, where they flipped the whole idea of the clones, that they were actually serving the Republic. And I think everyone kind of expected that they would be, well, at least I did, because that's kind of what I thought growing up, is that, the clones were what the good guys were fighting against, because that's what was in, the Thrawn trilogy and all stuff like that. And then we get to Attack of the Clones, and nope, that's not it at all. And I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but I'd say it'd be wise for the sequel films to refrain from going back to the well, as it were.
Well, yeah. That's the point, is, do something different. You can use the original trilogy as inspiration, but don't just use the same story. Don't have another farm boy coming of age, doing a hero's journey, do a hero's journey in a completely different way.
Yeah. And I would add, and I don't know, maybe Bria and Nancy would agree, if the sequel films did something nuts like, oh, Maul and or Palpatine, they're not really dead again. That would probably be terrible.
No,
thank you.
No.
Actually, if we're talking about new villains, I know that Dala was not exactly the most effective villain, but I liked seeing a female villain in the Jedi Academy trilogy, because it was something I felt like we hadn't really seen before. So if we get a female villain in the sequel trilogy, I think that would be pretty cool.
Oh,
and definitely a departure from Palpatine.
Absolutely. And that's another thing where you can take lessons from the expanded universe, where Dala may not have been the greatest character ever. The underlying concept is fantastic. A female villain in the Star Wars universe, that would be amazing. That'd be great. I'd love that.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, can we get a Zard?
Oh, my.
Ooh.
That's a whole lot of crazy for one movie.
Three movies. It's a sequel trilogy.
Okay, sold.
Okay.
Although, is it going to be G-level canon now that Isard and Palpatine were doing the horizontal shuffle?
No.
Brian?
I just had to read about Dala and Tarkin. This is all too...
Isard and Palpatine.
Brian!
The only thing to trump Dala
Stop
and
it.
Tarkin.
No!
I'm going to mute you. Except I don't know how to do that.
Your mixer doesn't have a mute switch.
I know. I'll do it anyway.
We'll just talk really loudly over you.
Okay. And another lesson we'd like to see the sequels learn, and I think this is something that a lot of books did well: use parts of previous films, but don't rehash previous films. The best expanded universe novels expand on what the films did, and draw from it occasionally. The worst expanded universe novels are note-for-note lifts of the films.
Yeah, and we don't want that. We've seen those movies already. We want new ones.
That's why something like Legacy of the Force just didn't work. It was like, does no one in this galaxy learn anything ever?
No.
This happened before.
Has to keep fixing it. That is why Wedge Antilles and Tycho Selchu have to keep fixing the galaxy.
And you wonder why Fate of the Jedi ended on that open-ended note? It's because Wedge stayed retired.
Exactly.
I feel like in Battlestar Galactica, all of this has happened before, and all of this will happen again.
Yeah. On the other side of that coin, though, I feel like you also have to not do something that's so completely far away from the films, such as Dark Nest or Crystal Star, because that will just, that just goes the other direction of horrible and crazy, and we do not want to see that again in the films.
I think that's a great point. I think the macro point to take away from the expanded universe here is if you go to either extreme or any extreme away from what the core of Star Wars is, it fails. Legacy of the Force failed in part because it was a note-for-note lift of the prequel trilogy, but mostly because it decided to go the Battlestar Galactica route of storytelling.
Which isn't necessarily bad, it just didn't work for Star Wars.
No, and there's nothing wrong with dark and gritty realism, but if it doesn't jive with your source material, then it's kind of a problem. Now, take Legacy of the Force, change the name, take it out of the Star Wars universe. It could work. But, especially maybe the last 7-8 years of the expanded universe, where it's gone kind of wrong is it's gotten too dark. And it's kind of strayed away from the hopeful tones of what Star Wars is.
Yep.
Yep.
And, of course, there's Crystal Star, which is... It's just not Star Wars. What is Crystal Star?
Crazy.
Waru loves you.
No. No.
Tune in tomorrow as Bria live streams her reading of the Crystal Star.
And her descent into alcoholism.
What, the Waru Express hasn't driven you there yet?
No, but we're getting there.
You haven't even gotten the New Jedi Order yet.
I can do okay with most of the New Jedi Order. I just cry through Star by Star.
Yes, but then you have the Legacy Era.
No, see, it's going to be Dark Nest. Dark Nest is what is going to make me need a liver transplant.
Oh, boy. But... in addition to lessons that the sequels can learn from the expanded universe, there are things we're hoping that the sequels can fix about the expanded universe.
Yes. And there are plenty of them.
Such as dead Solo children and Wookiees.
Yep. As Rioran says, character death for the sake of character death is tantamount to the death of the audience's caring.
So how many fans do you think checked out mentally after Mara was offed?
A lot.
Nancy was one.
Yeah, well, I was already kind of checked out already.
Yeah.
Thanks to bug sex.
And then more checked out after they went, oh, Jason can't be redeemed. LOL, let's kill him.
Yeah.
That didn't. Mm.
Jason can't be... I know I've ranted about this before, but Luke Skywalker... dude who saw the good in Darth Vader, the scariest Sith Lord ever, couldn't find it in him to redeem his nephew?
It just makes it worse because I vaguely remember Jaina saying something along the lines of, oh, in that last minute before I killed him, I saw that he was good. There was still some good left in him as he tries to save Tenel Khan, Alana, or whatever it was. I was like, really? So you killed him anyways? Really, Jaina? Your twin? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and then of course Luke says that later about a 16-year-old girl, and I facepalm straight through my skull.
Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, I don't know if I necessarily, you know, I wouldn't be upset if the Solo children were still alive and Chewie was still alive. I think that was pretty cool. I hope we have Solo children. I'm pretty sure we will, in some form or another. But yeah, I wouldn't be too upset if that part of continuity was pushed under the rug or shifted to an alternate continuity.
Yeah, and to play off this notion of character death for the sake of character death, one thing I hope this can fix is the obsession with expanded universe fans and occasionally writers with killing the big three.
Yeah.
Nothing can fix that, unfortunately.
I know, but please let them retire.
I think that if you kill off the big three or any solo kids within the films, it will help, or not help, it'll just end up taking away from that hopeful note we're hoping the sequel trilogy will have.
Yeah, it's like, because okay,
death.
What was the point of A New Hope, Empire, and Jedi if we're just going to kill them later in dramatic fashion?
Or not dramatic.
Oh boy, a poison dart or something.
Ugh.
We're not bitter.
I mean, if say, you know, say Harrison Ford doesn't want to come back and Han is already dead when the sequel trilogy starts, I can live with that. That's fine. But if they just use... If it just becomes a huge, giant plot point for the sake of killing someone, I hope it doesn't happen.
Okay, here are some things I don't want to see in the sequel films. One, Luke Skywalker being cut down by a lightsaber in the mirror image of Obi-Wan.
Yep.
Two, Han and Leia driving the Falcon in some suicide run to their deaths to save something.
Yep.
Don't do it. Let them retire, please. And if we're lucky, maybe the sequel trilogy can show that, yes, they can retire, and you don't need to kill them to push the plot.
Nope.
Yep.
But to riff off that, moving the big three out of the spotlight and not using them as a crutch.
Yes, that's the main problem we're having in the current era of the expanded universe, which may soon be moot, but the fact that they, instead of moving away from a big three focus after New Jedi Order, they just were like, oh, hey, you know, those kids, we're going to have Jason go off to this weird 5-year force journey and come back, you know, wanting, making, you know, comments about Tennal Ka's growth, and then Jaina's gonna go off and have sex with bugs. Yes, because that is the logical extension of what happened in the New Jedi Order.
Oh, and the whole New Jedi Order thing, the whole Vong thing, we're gonna hand wave that.
Yeah,
we're gonna hand wave that, and then we'll let Aaron Alston somehow tactfully address it in a very fair and respectful manner in an X-Wing book of all things.
Yeah, Jedi Academy's on Ossus. Yeah, that's really all you gotta know. The Coruscant's kind of a mess. But, you know, we don't talk about those Vong.
Of course Coruscant's a mess, because Coruscant is home to the dumbest citizens in the entire galaxy.
Yeah. So, yeah. Use younger characters, whether they are actually, you know, the EU characters that we already have, or just the next generation, whatever they create. I think they're the ones who need to be the stars, because, you know...
You can only ride on 30 is the new 20 and 60 is the new 40 for so long before the willing suspension of disbelief shatters.
Yeah, and each trilogy has a different generation, you know, that's the logical extension. You know, Mark Hamill, when they used to talk about sequels way back when, used to say, yeah, I always assumed the sequel trilogy about Luke teaching the next generation of kids. It would be about Luke's kid and Han and Leia's kids. So, and I think that's what everyone always assumed. And so
they see that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind if the others are in it. And I, you know, that's why I say Mark Hamill, I envision him having a much bigger role as teacher. But
I see Hamill being the Yoda of these films.
Yeah, oh my God. Sorry, I'm having another moment.
Easy, Nancy. But yeah,
I'm good.
I think it'd be best if in the sequel trilogy, Mark Hamill stands in as Yoda. Leia is the politician that we see in a couple of scenes doing politician things. And Han is seen in a holo recording at the Han Solo Museum of Han Solo. I wish I could take credit for that when I think Matthew Bowers came up with it first.
Han Solo, that's great. Yeah.
This is the ship I made the Kessel run in less than 12 parsecs. Holo image of Han Solo.
Yeah, but going off on that is another thing I think the sequel trilogy needs to fix is, you know, I, as I've said many times, I would not care if continuity was steamrolled so we get a Skywalker daughter.
Blow it all up for that! Blow it all up!
I would love it. Or, you know, I mean, they already have a female character in Jaina, so use her. But, you know, point being, I would like a female protagonist, like Leia, to be the main focus, you know.
I think the whole, the formula of, you know, the hero, the male hero, and then the girl, and then the other male hero is gotten a little bit stale, and I would appreciate it if they would change it up a little bit, so we could have more than one female in the films whose name everyone knows.
So, you don't want the sequel trilogy to be two guys, a girl, and a YT-1300 freighter?
No, Brian, go no. Lie down. Go sit in the corner.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
But yeah, the whole two guys and a girl thing works well. I mean, think of all the movies that have done it. You've got Star Wars, you have Harry Potter, Hunger Games. I mean, but yeah, do something different. Like
Jaina
we said before.
Solo was the girl on fire.
Oh God. But I think the difference, though, between how Star Wars has done it in the films and how Harry Potter has done it is that at least in the Harry Potter books and films, you have other female characters who may be in supporting roles, but at least you know their names and you know about them, whereas we didn't really get that in these. Because, I mean, I think someone mentioned on Twitter, oh, can you name any of the female Jedi? And they're like, oh, the blue girl. And they're like, but they can't actually say her name. They don't know who Aayla is.
And the other one with the head things and
Luminara Unduli. Sorry.
And Barriss Offee.
I know all their names.
Girl Barriss.
Adi Gallia, part of this year's great continuity.
Yeah, but I the reason, like, everyone loves Leia. You know, she's a fantastic character, but I would like them to have more characters like her. Why can't we have two Leias or three Leias instead
capable
of just
ladies.
One? Yes.
I want more capable ladies in my films.
So, yes, we can increase the quota of capable ladies per Star Wars film up from one. The ceiling can go higher than that.
Yeah.
Just look at the X-Wing books if you need some help.
Yeah, but in another thing I would like the sequels to fix as far as the expanded universe goes is there's a very huge lack of diversity in general, not just when it comes to, you know, gender. Look at the Jedi Council in the prequels as compared to Luke's Jedi Council. And it's like human, 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 random alien, human, 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 human. Whereas in the prequels, it's Yoda, Mace, Ki-Adi-Mundi, Kit Fisto, guy with all the hair whose name just escaped me.
Ethcor or something like that?
No. Ethcoff is one of the other dudes. There's Ejanis Kolar.
Depa Bilba.
Appa Rancisis is the dude with all the hair. Thank you.
I'm glad you remembered that because I wasn't going to pull that name out.
Depa Bilba, and then there's Ali Gallia, and then there's Stas Ali, and, you know,
Yarrel Poof.
Yarrel Poof. How can you forget Yarrel Poof? But yeah, for example, look at the four Jedi from the Jedi Council who go with Mace Windu to take out Palpatine. There's Mace Windu, human, Kit Fisto, Nautilin, Ki-Adi-Mundi, Cerulean, and then Agent Kolar, who I don't know what
he is. It wasn't Ki-Adi-Mundi. He was, because he gets killed later.
Oh, no. Who is the other dude? It was Kit Fisto, Agent Kolar, Oh, my God. This is going to bother me so bad. Oh my God, let me look at my action figures. I have them all.
Nancy has a case of action figures behind her.
Stacy Chin. That's what someone's saying.
Oh my God, who is it?
Stacy Chin, I think, according to our chat.
Nancy, put your headphones back on.
Nancy!
Come back, Nancy.
Guy with the horns. Stacey Chang.
Guy with the horns is a Brock, isn't he?
That was bothering me.
Someone told us in the chat.
Thank you, chat. And by the way, listeners, every week we live stream our podcast. Join us in the chat to mock us.
Yes.
But help us.
So, but point being is, you know, the prequels did a really, really, really good job with having a lot of aliens and a lot of new planets. And the alien, you know, while, you know, of course, the humans were kind of the main characters as far as Obi-Wan and Anakin, you know, you had characters like Yoda and, you know, a lot of the Jedi were not human. And there was just, you know. I mean, even freaking Jar Jar. No one likes Jar Jar, but he was an alien. Gotta give him that.
Jar Jar gets all the credit in the universe for being an alien. All of it.
Yep.
But you see my point. And I, you know, TFN Lit, I love them. And yeah. But they always, there's a diversity thread that is, you know, has a lot of valid points. And the picture they always show is the picture from the Jedi versus Sith Essential Guide to the Force of Mara's funeral. And it's full of white dudes.
My favorite.
Yeah, and you're like, how does this fit in with what we know of the Star Wars universe as a whole? You know, and we have like, okay, who are the aliens in the current Jedi Council? There's Qui-Gon, who I can pronounce her name right. And Saba. Ugh. And
that's it, right?
Barak Till is the new one. Who? He's a new. There's a new Jedi who he joined the Jedi Council in the middle of Fate of the Jedi, Barak Till.
Oh, I've checked out during those books mentally after Vortex.
Yeah. And, you know, I wish I liked Saba more than I did because I think the Barabel can be kind of interesting.
Well, I kind of liked Saba before Legacy of the Force.
She was great in the New Jedi Order. I really liked her.
Yeah, yeah. And then she killed, what's his face? Kent Hamner.
It was all downhill from there.
Yeah, so
why are we not having a conversation as to why Saba hasn't been kicked out of the Jedi Order for engineering a mutiny?
Luke's been taking a nap.
Luke's been taking a nap for the last 15 in-universe years.
No, wait. I figured this out the other day. He's on spice, because that is my new explanation.
That's it.
Why
That's
everyone
it.
Does things out of character. They are on spice.
Luke's on it's the spice.
It's a contact high from Waru. Sorry.
You know, have we talked about how Abeloth could be Waru?
Oh God.
I don't know if we've investigated this angle.
No.
No, can we not?
Moving on.
Because, you know, there were those tentacle things.
No.
You know,
tentacles, no.
I would actually prefer Abeloth's backstory being Waru than the Mortis people.
Oh, me too.
Can we just erase her from continuity, please? That's what I want just, the sequel trilogy. No Waru and no Abeloth.
No tentacles.
Yes.
No tentacle creatures.
And you can have all the aliens you want, but no Killix.
Yeah.
No Killix. I will say no to the Killix. But as someone in the chat points out, hey, at least Abeloth or maybe Waru offed Callista.
No, Abeloth did not off Callista. Luke offed Callista, and it broke his heart, and therefore, sorry, no. Can't accept that.
It's not like she was a problem for Luke anyways. I mean, she'd vanished for however many years. I actually thought she was dead in the expanded universe until I read Conviction.
And then she popped off and made him mercy kill her and broke his heart all over again. Thanks a lot, Abeloth.
Oh, Aaron Olsen, how do you keep making us care about characters we don't care about?
Yeah. Where
he
were
likes
we?
Breaking us.
So, our next point in things that the sequels can fix... Boy, are you guys keeping a running tab of the tangents we go on? I feel as if I feel as if that should be part of the game for those listening
thing.
Along in the chat.
That's our thing.
12? 12 by now, at least?
Oh, we're at least a dozen. But yes, something else that the sequels can fix. Oh, this is definitely another Nancy note.
Yeah, so like I said before, I think Leia should have a role in creating the New Republic. I think Leia should be a Jedi politician. She should be a politician who was trained as a Jedi, because Luke should train her as a Jedi, you know, right away. And then once she's learned her skills, she can learn her skills while she's being a politician. Why can't she do both at the same time? Because this is, you know, look to the prequels when it comes to aliens and diversity. Don't look to the prequels when it comes to the Jedi Order. Because there's a reason that the Jedi Order was destroyed. And Luke should not base his Jedi Order off of the old Jedi Order, because that'd be bad. And that's one of the reasons I don't really care for the Jedi Order anymore, because they're all basically a carbon copy of the same character. They don't have any... they're not interesting because they don't do anything other than being Jedi. You know, Corrin was a cop and a Jedi. Then he was a pilot and a Jedi. You know, even the one guy from the Scourge book, he was a librarian, or an archivist, and a Jedi. And so was Tion and, you know, Mara's assassin Jedi. Luke is another pilot Jedi, but the point is that they all had other skills other than being Jedi, because they became Jedi as adults. And, you know, I don't think Luke would forget that you need other skills to be a Jedi. And, you know, this is a really horrible analogy, and I apologize if this offends anyone, but it shouldn't, because I'm Catholic, technically. But, you know, if the Jedi Order is going to be called a religion, you should treat it that way. Because, you know, people can be Catholic and go to church and practice their religion and still lead a normal life. You don't have to be Pope and be Catholic. Or, for a better analogy, you can study martial arts and learn martial arts and not have to live at the dojo.
And, you know, when you frame it that way, and when characters are Jedi and something else, it suddenly makes sense when you start seeing Jedi flying starfighters like combat aces.
Yeah.
Because still angry about Tahiri.
I know. But I can't help but think, in the prequel trilogies and some of the new Jedi Order books, where have you had time to learn how to fly like this?
Yeah. There's no way Ahsoka should be able to keep up with Anakin in a starfighter.
How does Ahsoka have time to get into the simulators?
Yeah.
She doesn't. How can she fly that well? She can't.
Yeah,
I just want to see the Jedi treated as more of like a professional organization, because when you look at Jesmyn Tainer, she's not maybe an official Jedi, but because she has her Jedi skills and then she has her sneaky ranger skills, it makes her way more interesting, you know, and she does more stuff than, say, insert a random Jedi here from the Beta Jedi. Seha, maybe.
Any of them?
Yeah. Makes her more interesting than her brother. There we go. Sorry, Doran.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's the point. That the Jedi are... Though, okay, I will say about the Jedi Academy trilogy that all the Jedi were distinct and had their own thing. Even though I thought, you know, some of it was kind of dumb, like singing... They were all distinct characters and not just, you know, the exact same person.
Yep.
I mean, each Jedi should be unique, and if each Jedi is random space marine super soldier, it kind of takes away from the mystique.
Yeah.
And that is something that the expanded universe and the prequel trilogy to a degree are extremely guilty of, especially the expanded universe since the end of New Jedi Order.
Yeah, I liked the, you know, obviously Anakin was going to be the pilot, and I liked that Obi-Wan had the moniker of the negotiator because he's more, you know, calm and logical. But, you know, they should be able to do other things and be Jedi. I've never understood why people think being a Jedi is all or nothing. I'll never understand it. I mean, yes, I understand it's a huge responsibility and, you know, obviously you want to learn how to use the Force and to follow the light side and all of that. And, you know, Luke, you know, probably want to know what Force users are up to because, hey, they can destroy the galaxy. But I've never understood why. I mean, you know, there can be Jedi who are Jedi in the Order and they go off and do missions and stuff. But, like, if you don't want to do that, you should be able to do other stuff, too.
Agreed. Yep. You know, you have to wonder, I wonder why the galaxy turned on the old Jedi Order. Could it be because that they kidnapped their children that showed any kind of Force sensitivity and forced them into this cult-looking thing in which they are trained to be a Jedi and nothing but the Jedi and they will never know anything but the way of the Jedi?
And the whole point is the Jedi were in their castle and, you know, not ruling, but, you know, guiding from on high and protecting from on high, and no one knew what Jedi were like.
So, you know, it's easy for any galactic citizen to say, boy, the Jedi are out of touch.
Yeah.
So, yes, learn from the expanded universe. The stories get a little dull when the Jedi are just Jedi, and there are only Jedi on page.
Yep.
And I think our last note for something we'd love to see the sequel trilogy try to fix is fixing perhaps the dark and gritty and fatalistic tone of the last 7-8 years. Star Wars can be an adventure and a critical success and something fans can enjoy, even if it's just a tale of adventuring grandeur. Don't go making the Legacy era mistakes.
Please. Don't make a film that we need, that we all just sob our way through the third half of, last third of, like, Revenge of the Sith. Because, I mean, yes, it needed to be how it was, but give us some more hopeful films, please.
Yeah, and I think that was the problem with Legacy of the Force and Fate of the Jedi. It wasn't really hopeful at any point.
No.
All downhill.
All downhill, and it's... I guess you can say, well, things didn't suck as much as they could have. Yay!
Yep.
But yes, things we'd like to see the sequel, or lessons we'd like the sequels to learn from the expanded universe, and things about the expanded universe we'd like the sequel trilogy to fix. That's been Cammy's concerns for this week. Tune in next week when we talk about, we did this last week. Don't make a 50 Shades of Grey in the Star Wars universe.
Oh, God. No.
We're going to revisit our genre topic.
No.
This universe does not need a romance film or romance novel. You'll make Rhea sad.
Well, I'm looking at the chat and people are making references and it's making me want to vomit a little bit.
See, if you're not listening to this podcast live, you're missing out on all of the shenanigans we have in the chat.
Oh, God. Nancy, why'd you have to bring that one up?
I didn't do it! I claim innocence.
Innocence. Whatever.
No 50 Shades of anything in Star Wars. Or at least write it better.
Low bar to clear.
There's fanfic for that.
That was a sad note to end on.
Well, thankfully, we're not done yet.
Oh, good.
We have Ask Us Anything, in which people ask us everything.
And we will answer anything. Them.
Possibly.
So, hey, you in the chat, if you're listening, you got a couple more moments to ask us some questions, and we'll answer them.
Nut asks, for the new trilogy, would you prefer an entire CGI film or an entire Henson Productions film, special effects wise?
Both.
I don't know if that's an option.
Well, I mean, you have like a Henson Yoda and CGI starfighters.
Okay. Well, I would like to see some on location shooting again.
Yeah.
Or at least more actual constructed sets and not just green screen backdrops.
I'm an odd person in that I like CGI, so.
The one thing I'll say is if you are going to go on location, like, say, beautiful Lake Como in Italy, then don't green screen out the landscape.
Oh, no. Don't do
yeah,
that.
They did that. They told us about that when I went on the tour there. Just don't. It's pretty. If you're going there for the pretty, then embrace the pretty. Don't green screen it.
Agreed. And Nut also asks, who should be the antagonists? The imps, the Vong, Sith, rebels, something new?
You know, I'm going to say something new. Bring something out of left field.
Same here. Something new.
I think it's pretty much given it's going to be a dark sider of some sort, but I think it would be cool to see a new dark side sect.
Agreed.
Someone who are not Sith. Not secret Sith living somewhere, just a dark side group. Either taken from the EU or completely different.
Yes, I will agree with that. Katana Sundancer asks, the Yuuzhan Vong, is part of the problem with them that they were made too powerful?
I think my problem with them, that was kind of a problem early on. And then they kind of, as people figured out how to feel them through the Force, and it always seemed to me that it wasn't, they were impossible odds to overcome. And by the time I got to near the end of the war, I was like, okay, there's only a few books left. How is the New Republic going to win this? And it just didn't seem realistic that the tide turned the way it did.
Yeah, I would say that the problem isn't so much that they were too powerful. The problem was with the pacing of the series itself.
Yeah. It was just way too long. I don't think people probably would have had as huge of a problem with the Vong as if they'd been in the trilogy. I think it could have been a very interesting trilogy.
Or even a little bit longer. Just if you just cut the number of books in half, because the Force Heretic, whatever you call it, Heretic books could have been 2 books tops. Just cut it down. If it was a 10-book series, I think people would have liked it better. Like, because then you still get to have the whole impact of them really just destroying the galaxy, but you don't have to drag it out for 5 years.
Well, yeah, 10-book primary series, and maybe take some of those extraneous books and make them offshoot, standalone tales.
I think the problem is that starting in New Jedi Order, they started to think of the books as series and not eras.
I'd agree, yes.
Mm. You know, there's a New Jedi Order era, but pretty much every book from that came from the New Jedi Order series. Whereas in, you know, the New Republic era, you have all these different books written by different authors featuring different characters. And yeah, the same thing happened in the New Jedi Order, but they all featured the exact same plot. And if you didn't like the Vong, you were screwed.
Yeah.
And the same thing with the next 2 books. You know, I think if you create a galaxy situation like the New Jedi Order where the Vong are the antagonists, and then you just let the authors go from there, it could have been a lot more interesting. Say, okay, this era is going to last 5 years. Okay.
Yeah.
Then
and,
you write books.
And the big thing is, okay, here's an era, but this isn't book 7 in a 19-book series.
Yeah.
This is book 2 in a 3-book trilogy in this era.
Yeah, now you have the Legacy era, but it's basically just 2 series, you know, one right after the other. So, yeah.
Yep.
And our final question, Reader's Timeline asks, what is the wingspan to flight speed ratio of an unladen Minok? But I do have to ask...
Corellian or Onderanian?
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
Ha!
42.
I
didn't know that.
I'm missing out on a reference.
You are. You've never seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now I know what you're talking about.
Okay. I was worried there for a second.
I've seen it. It's just been a really, 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 really long time.
Oh, dear. Okay. Yeah. We're going to go ahead and wrap the show up. This episode of Tashi Station Radio has been brought to you by Her Universe, Flaunt Your World, and Audible.com. Listeners of this podcast, if you sign up for a free trial at Audible.com, you can get yourself a free audiobook. You can find us on Twitter with the handle at Tashi_Station. That is the official show account. You can find Bria with at Chaos Bria. You can find Nancy with at Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with at Lane Winry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we're the Tashi Station Network. We are available on the iTunes Store. If you like what you hear, please do leave a review. It does help us grow our reach and grow the show. You can find our columns and news at Tashi-Station.net. That is the official blog of the show. Thank you for listening to another episode, and we will catch you next week.
Goodbye.
This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.